Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Well, migration is high on the agenda at today's Cabinet meeting, which is considering how to fast-track the provisions in the EU Migration Pact into Irish law. These include fingerprinting, faster processing times and designated centres for those arriving with no documents. The Justice Minister, Helen McEntee, will also bring forward legislation to strip naturalised citizens of their Irish citizenship if they're deemed a threat to the state. But is our system ready to implement all of these changes? Well, to discuss this, I'm joined by partner and head of immigration at KOD Lyons solicitor Stephen Kerwin. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, Claire. How are you doing?
Is this a wholesale change to how we deal with immigration in this country?
I mean, absolutely. The regulations are going to usher in a massive change in terms of the management of migration in the EU. And quite simply, I don't know whether or not we're prepared to deal with the, I suppose, wholesale changes that are going to be introduced. And I don't think it's been fully thought through. And while this legislation has been mooted for quite some time, I think now that it's here on our doorstep, I'm very concerned, as I think a number of NGOs and human rights organisations would be, about our ability to actually implement sensible regulations.
Okay, so when we look at the EU Migration Pact, which is now going to be transposed into Irish law, we're looking at things like stronger border security, collection of fingerprints and photographs, faster processing, fast track processing for people who arrive here without documents or who are coming from countries deemed safe. Are these the things that you're concerned about, that we may not be ready to do all of this?
No, but part one, absolutely. And we can currently see, certainly with the attempt to try and accelerate certain procedures, even at present, how we are very ill-equipped to deal with that and ill-equipped to deal with the numbers. What I would say is that we do have a current system in place in relation to the sharing of fingerprints, the Eurodac system, which does work quite efficiently. And I don't think you're going to hear any complaints from any civil society organisations about the fast-tracking and the fair processing of cases. Where the worry is in relation to the de facto detention at borders that is going to be introduced, the border procedure, which we've never had before, the emphasis on substandard accelerated procedures. And again, I don't think anyone ever has a problem in terms of sensible accelerated procedures following the rule of law and human rights conduct. But ultimately here, it's very hard to see how we are equipped to deal with that in a fair way. I suppose the other thing to point out then as well, I mean, this broadening of the safe third country principle for people seeking asylum and the declaration of inadmissibility and what that might mean, whether we're introducing a Rwanda system through the back door. I mean, these are things ultimately that I think need to be teased out very, very seriously.
Yeah. When you mentioned de facto detention at borders, just explain to me what you see might happen.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, under the law currently, if someone claims international protection in Ireland, you're not directed to go to any particular centre, any, you know, facility or detention. You're basically given free rein to come in and obviously avail of direct provision or ultimately have private accommodation if you're willing to pay for it. Ultimately, the idea would be that if someone is coming from a country that's deemed to be safe, that they will actually be detained at the border rather than being given free rein or access to the island. They'll be put into like a reception or detention centre. But at present, there seems to be no exemption for families or children of all ages, kind of as it's currently drafted. And what that would mean is someone would essentially be in de facto detention. You're not allowed to leave. And it's very unclear how we're going to actually deal with those reception centres, what they're going to look like, what the facilities are. It's very unclear.
Is it your understanding that people who arrive here without documents would be held in those centres too?
It would be. I believe that is something that has been discussed certainly at EU level. And that is very concerning for numerous reasons.
There's no obligation then, Stephen, to transpose this migration pact into Irish law before 2026. But given how we have seen the government altering its response to migration in the last while, did you expect this move?
I did, and I think there has been a very concerted effort, and I think a political effort. Certainly, it's not for me to comment on the politics of it, but a move towards this idea of push factors, which we know in reality just doesn't it doesn't accord to real life. People are coming here. People will continue to come here, and it's about dealing with that in a fair and humane way, but mm-hmm. also at the same time having a sensible policy in terms of acceleration. Absolutely agree. But it's actually putting that mechanism in place, and I think it's ill thought out.
There's another issue here with revoking citizenship for people who have been granted that right here in Ireland. What is your understanding of this? Who will it apply to?
Yeah, so my understanding, again, I haven't seen many details, probably like most people, I've woken up to read the news this morning to see proposals in relation to the revocation of Irish citizenship for a certain class of individuals who were naturalised as Irish citizens and have either committed fraud or been convicted of a terror-related offence. And it dates back to a case called the Dimash and Minister for Justice, which was a case a number of years ago, where the Supreme Court basically struck down certain sections as unconstitutional. And that was really, it was very much a procedural point. What the court said was, you are absolutely entitled to have a system to revoke naturalisation certificates, but that it has to be, it can only be done once there are fair procedures. There has to be some sort of an independent mechanism or an appeals mechanism. The minister can't just act as judge, jury and executioner. So I do await with great anxiousness to see what that law actually says and how they've dealt with those issues that have been raised in the Dimash case.
What are your concerns?
Well, I think like everything, I think, again, it is sensible to have law in relation to the revocation of Irish citizenship. I don't think you're going to hear anyone say the opposite. But the concern would be how far is that going to apply? Is it going to be proportionate? What are the safeguards and checks that are being introduced in the legislation? If someone makes an accusation, again, I don't think it's in accordance with fair procedures. The Supreme Court agree to have the minister as judge, jury and executioner in relation to any of these cases. There has to be independent oversight or a mechanism to deal with those, and possibly an appeals mechanism as well, rather than having to run to the High Court and seek judicial review of a decision. There has to be a fair way and a humane way to process these cases.
So with all of these things that we have discussed there, Stephen, you're saying you're warning legislators to move carefully and perhaps a little slower.
Absolutely. And I think like everything here, there is a sense that something does have to be done in relation to regulating migration and migratory patterns. But I would also say that there are human rights issues that are at the core of any of these pieces of legislation. And the devil is absolutely in the detail when it comes to dealing with these cases.
Stephen, many thanks. Stephen Carwin, who is partner and head of immigration at KOD Line Solicitors.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.